her pulled open the curtain, and I felt her against my back. For a moment, I didn't move. What if we just left, I wondered. If the Alam was a fake, as I imagined him to be, why spend the money when I already knew what was wrong with me? And if by chance he was authentic, why take the risk that he might detect the truth and give me away? Follow me, Nur said, talking over my shoulder. Layla, Ami said, move away and let Nur in. Why are you being so rude? She'll think I didn't raise you properly. I didn't budge. Ami gripped my arm and pulled me aside. Abu Uncle walked out. My mother followed. Ami, I called. Stop being such a child, Layla. I'm no longer a child, Ami. She had stopped and looked strangely at me, the chador making her body formless and unrecognizable. If you have something to tell me, child, tell me now, she whispered. I've been wondering, but I've been waiting for you to tell me yourself. So basically what's happening is that they think that at this point, because it's a superstitious culture, they're thinking that she's possessed. And now they enter the main room. The Alam did have blind eyes and I could see them. He wore no glasses. A thick white film covered the entire eyeballs and each stared off in a different direction. Behind him, the three walls of the living room were covered almost entirely with rectangular mirrors, some older than others, but identical in dimension. Each one was the size of a poster board. All the frames were a simple 2-inch thick dull glass. The mirrors were hung in such a way as to reflect others. Mirrors inside mirrors, multiple reflections, refractions, and the original became lost, impossible to discern. Along the walls in a few places, the turquoise paint revealed itself. Inside the mirrors, however, these bare spots were completely concealed. Abu Uncle sat next to the Alam on the tachat, while Ami and I sat on the tiled floor facing the two men, just as I had seen the women before us do. The courtyard was behind me, and I heard the rain falling through branches and leaves splattering on the ground. When I sneaked a peek at the old man, I saw inside his nose and noticed long hair reaching out to curve around each nostril. Inch-long hair also poked out from behind the low-cut kurta and from below the wide pajama bottoms. I lowered my gaze, somehow feeling I had been improper to notice these things. Segregation between women and men had that effect on me. Since I was a child, my mother had tried to teach me correct behavior, and I followed her wishes when she was watching, covering my hair, hiding my legs, draping a scarf over kurtas to conceal the curve of my breasts, muffling my laughter, whispering, averting my eyes. I always knew I had to do these things because man, as Islam said, was the weaker sex. So it was my responsibility to keep him from becoming aroused. All these precautions were taken to prevent intercourse, or as Ami would say, so I would not fall prey to a man's desires. Naturally then, when I encountered any man, young or old, in the theater, on the bus, passing by our car, rather than feeling chaste, I felt more desire wrapped in the chador, more aware that I was a woman and he, simply by the fate of being a man, wanted me. So I sometimes met their curious gaze, sometimes let them brush against me as they walked by, and sometimes even followed them with my eyes. From what better place to notice a man's body than from behind a chador? You have come about the girl, the Alam said to us. He kept his voice near a whisper as though to create a confidence. Yes, Amin said. Neither of us looked directly at the Alam. It was considered improper for men and women to look into each other's eyes unless they were married. She's my daughter. And what is your relationship to the man sitting next to me? He asked. He is my sister's husband. The old man nodded. He smelled of sweat and betel nut. Now, he said, what's wrong with the girl? The girl has been bleeding like menses, Abu Uncle said, also quietly. But longer. Much, much longer, and with it she's having bad dreams. When the Alam only nodded, he added, My sister-in-law and her daughter have just arrived from America, where they live. Oh, I see, the album said, and rocked a while in silence. I saw from his thoughtful expression that he was considering tactful ways to say what he believed. His eyes hovered just above my head, and I could not help but stare into them, wanting to peel away the top coating with a pair of tweezers. Would they look normal to me? Would he be able to see? America is not the best place to raise a daughter, my sister, he finally said. What can we do? My mother answered. The times are such. You know how difficult it is for Muslims in India, and her father and I are very strict with her. Ami said this to most anyone who raised doubts about her and dad leaving India. No matter, children go there and get lost, he said. Ami shrugged. The Alim continued his sermon, his eyes blindly staring over our heads, watching the rain. Ami grew more annoyed and gestured angrily at Abu Uncle, pointing at various times toward the old man. She didn't think it was necessary for my uncle to have revealed where we lived, especially since the Alim's reaction was predictable. And worse, despite his preaching, he would now expect rupees from us. Dollar rupees. The truth was, nothing the Alim or anyone else might say would convince my parents to return to India. After 20 years abroad, my parents considered America their home. They may have been born and raised in India, but their present life existed there. Dad's work, my schooling, other Indian friends. If caught in an honest moment, they would even admit that the quality of life in the U.S. was better, because it was cleaner. The water, the air, the food, the streets, no religious riots, no military curfews, but they planned to retire here. Which is to say that for them, birth and death occurred in India, but not life. My uncle shifted a few inches away from the Alim and gestured back to Ami. He pointed at me several times and spread his palms as if to say, come on, Abba, the Alim has to know. America is the source of all of Layla's problems. I rolled my eyes. I had faced this all my life, the way each country held a moral stance over the other. It was as though each nation had its own uniform and I wore the shirt of one, the trousers of the other, and both sides were shooting at me. Oh, the way each culture condemned and complained. India was backward and primitive, exotic. America was morally bankrupt, a culture colonizer. But I knew this chiding was really a flirtation. For below these criticisms, each place held a lure for the other, a fascination and curiosity, an attraction and longing. Children begin to commit sins, the Alim continued. They don't know better and do as their American friends, drink alcohol, go to dirty bars, and dance with the opposite sex. I have heard that some of our girls are wearing bikinis and miniskirts. Dobadaba, he said lightly, slapping his cheeks to show repentance. No shame left at all. This is all a sign the day of judgment is coming. Our daughter is not like that, Amit said, looking over the Alim's shoulder at the mirrors, then into the courtyard at the drizzle. Even her voice sounded bored. Her father is very strict with her. No phone calls from American friends, boys or girls, no going out of the house unless it's to attend classes. She began to clean her toenails. Is this true, Beta? He asked me. Very true, I said, for it was. My sister-in-law brings her daughter home each summer, Abu Uncle said, nodding at Ami. He was making up to her now, noticing, I was sure, how the Alim had not proceeded to connect my breeding with America to offer me a simple cure. Every year, Appa leaves her home in the U.S. to bring her daughter to Hyderabad. Have you ever heard of such devotion, Alimji? Ami lowered her head and listened to my uncle's praise. I heard raindrops patter into the empty steel bucket by the well and thought it strange, but the doves sat in the rain. Abu Uncle smiled wide, showing most of his yellow teeth, and as he leaned over into the Alim's face, reminded that the old man was blind, he withdrew. But as he talked, he leaned forward again and withdrew again. The Alim nodded as though considering my uncle's words, but his expression didn't change. Of course Layla isn't like the girls you've heard of, Alimji, my uncle was saying. She's a decent girl. are very strict. Good, good, the Alam said, but one thing still confuses me. If all of this is true, then why have you come here? What are these dreams you're talking about? And what is this blood? We don't know why she's having these dreams, Amir said. She stared into her palms as though questioning her life decisions. We wanted your help for that. I don't mean offense, my sister, but I must ask you, are you quite sure that your daughter was as secluded as you say? Yes, yes, of course, Amir said. But when she glanced at me, I thought I saw doubt in her eyes. I grew uncomfortable and slumped into my veil, trying to hide from her in the Alam's dead eyes. No one had ever thought to question this before, and I felt exposed. In fact, I began to feel convinced that the Alam knew everything, that he was, at that moment, conjuring up all the events of the previous month. As though on a movie screen, I visualized the images displayed on the back of his white eyes. As he watched, I too recalled. There was Nate, dark-haired, gray-green eyes, his camera knocking against his jeans, following me onto a college bus after our shared photography class. And there was I, elated and afraid, having never dated, but feeling I needed to now, boarding the wrong bus, already hiding my engagement ring. There we were, getting off at the first stop, then walking across campus to my next class and agreeing to meet for coffee. Now there I was, skipping classes to go sailing with him there, wearing a bikini, now lying in the sun there, drinking beer, now returning home on time and complaining to my parents about the difficulty of college classes. And there I was, late at night, finding a way to get Nate inside the house. And now we're making love, one floor below my mother. Early in the morning, he quietly leaves easily through the back patio door. No, I hadn't the courage to sneak out of my parents' house, but I had found someone willing to sneak in. Thank you.